Senators have to make a tough decision about something near and dear to children everywhere. What do we do about Halloween?
I don't know ultimately what we're going to work out. We've only got a month, though.
That's Mayor Terry Renner. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, September 30th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the latest in the coronavirus in McLean County, specifically what it means for the one day a year when we can all agree to wear masks, Halloween. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner says his city is waiting on guidance from state public health officials before deciding whether to endorse Halloween trick-or-treating as they normally would.
I hate it that there may be a dramatically reduced Halloween.
Renner says that his sense is that the city council wants to defer to the Illinois Department of Public Health. The federal government, specifically the CDC, has already issued new guidelines on how to celebrate Halloween safely. No big surprises. Classic door-to-door trick-or-treating and crowded, boozy costume parties are not recommended. The CDC's guidelines group Halloween activities into lower risk, moderate risk, and high risk buckets. At higher risk category includes both trick-or-treating door-to-door and events where kids get treats from the trunks of cars in a big parking lot. Indoor haunted house are also no-nos. Renner says the big priority is stopping people from gathering in large groups.
Are people still going to go door-to-door if we say, you know, we would like to have alternative means? But I mean, we're not going to go and start issuing tickets for people who go door-to-door. It's just, it certainly is not something that we're going to be sanctioning officially.
Whatever the plan, he says, Bloomington wants to be on the same page as normal. Meanwhile, the McLean County Health Department reported just 8 new cases yesterday. 2 more people are hospitalized, bringing that total to 9. The number of new and active cases are both now at their lowest points since the start of the college fall semester, middle of last month. The county's testing positivity rate ticked up slightly to 2.8%, still below state and national averages. And testing continues to lag at Illinois State University. Only about 873 students have been tested in the past week. It's well below the target of 1,500. Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Governor J.B. Pritzker is self-isolating after a staff member tested positive for COVID. That staffer attended 3 events with the governor in recent days. This is the second time the governor has been forced to isolate. City Bloomington says that Cadillac Jack's Bar has agreed to pay $1,500 in fines to settle 3 violations for not enforcing state COVID safety guidelines over Labor Day weekend. And Bloomington High School teacher Brandon Thornton has been named East Central Illinois Regional Teacher of the Year, making him a finalist for the statewide honor. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. The federal government has awarded $2.3 million to the city of Bloomington to help it address what one pediatrician calls a silent killer. The grant will help remove lead from 92 housing units in the city. Dr. Samina Youssef tells Eric Stock that lead can cause developmental problems in children, especially those 6 and under. She says children who live in older homes are at greatest risk.
It's not something that's going to give you a lot of symptoms right away. And it may take many years for those symptoms to manifest. So the fact that we have this many houses, and there's probably even more in our area that still contain possibility of lead exposure to our young children, is obviously very concerning.
So how prevalent is lead contamination in Bloomington Normal, for example? Is it any worse here than it may be in other communities?
I think that in any community where there is a high burden of old houses, houses that were built before 1980, and unfortunately we have a fairly high burden, especially in the 61701 zip code.
Which is pretty much the heart of Bloomington.
Correct.
Lead exposure, like many health risks, would seem to disproportionately impact those with lower incomes. They are more likely to live in older homes or housing units where the upkeep may not be as robust, where the paint can chip and cause this dust. Have you seen that as a pediatrician, or is there any data that would support that?
Yes, this is definitely true. There's a couple of different factors. Living in an older home will definitely put you at risk anyway. When you are surrounded by poverty or you are affected by poverty, you are also more likely to have poorer nutrition. If you your body is not nutritionally sound, for example, if you lack iron or calcium or zinc, then you are actually more likely to absorb more lead from your environmental factors.
How easily can someone's brain development defects or other issues be traced back to that after the fact? Will you ever know that that's what had caused it?
So that's a really, really good question. And of course, all of these things that we see, especially delays in development, are multifactorial. An easy way to do it is to check the level of lead in a child. So, for example, in our office, we have a screening protocol where we have certain high-risk zones, zip codes that we know of. And in those, if there's a child living in one of those zip codes, we may automatically go ahead and do a lead test. What we do here is we involve the McLean County Department of Health. And along with them, they will explore the environment that the child is living in and will go out to the house. Right now, they're actually still doing it, but virtually. And we'll try and find where there may be areas where there's... recently, I had a child who has a lead level of about 11. And they had one single cabinet where there was some peeling paint on the back of that cabinet, because I think it abutted to a wall. And that apparently was the cabinet where all the plasticware was and the children liked to play. And so it seems that that was the one thing that was causing a high lead level in this child.
That was Bloomington pediatrician Samina Youssef speaking with Eric Stock. More of this interview at WGLT.org. Before we let you go, State Representative Dan Brady and the DCEO are hosting a webinar today at 1 for businesses hoping to apply for business interruption grant funding. Also, Normal Public Library's board meets at 5:30 tonight. They'll discuss COVID reopening plans. That is it for today. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.